It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Welcome back to the show. We will get to another Houston star, legend even, being robbed. But first, since we talked about this quite a bit in the previous segment, D'Amico Ryans was at the podium after practice today, and he gives an update, or at least a response, to the report about Joe Mixon. So this is D'Amico Ryans, at least it was put on Twitter just a couple minutes ago. This is D'Amico Ryans on Joe Mixon and the report about his foot.
Yeah, nothing's changed with Joe. Joe is still working, you know, in the background. I know we get reports about Joe. Nothing's changed. He's still working. Whenever it's time for Joe to be back, he'll be back. Right? I know a lot of people want to report a lot of things about guys with injuries. My thing is this is, are you really concerned about our guys? Or are you really just trying to get something out there? Right, and for me, I always put my players' health and safety first and foremost. So I care about the guys, so you guys don't hear me talking a lot about injuries because that's their personal information. Guys are working through that, and it's nothing to report or get in an uproar about. Like, our guys are working, and it's always sensitive to me because I've been there. I've went through that. So it's not just to report something like, want people here who truly care about our guys. I care about our guys and what they're doing throughout their process, and it'll continue to be that way.
Let me answer D'Amico's question. No, Ian Rapoport doesn't care that much about the health of Joe Mixon. He's trying to get news out there. What kind of question is that? I understand from his perspective, he's a head coach. He doesn't want a lot of news about the injuries concerning his players, and he's positioning it as, I care about my players. I don't want them out. I don't want it out there. Less about some type of competitive advantage, particularly in the preseason. There is not one. But is he brand new? He's not brand new. He's coached for years, not just a head coach, but as an assistant. He played in the league. No. Aaron Wilson, when he reports on an injury for your player, he may even like the player. But his primary concern isn't the well-being of that player. It is about getting the news out there because that's Aaron Wilson's job. What kind of question is that? Are you really concerned about my guys? I can tell you now, they're not that concerned. They got a job to do. And that's why someone either gave it to Ian Rapoport I don't know how he sussed it out. That's why Ian Rapoport went on NFL Network and told everyone the starting running back for the AFC South champion Houston Texans may not be available until week one, if that, because he's got a job. He's not that concerned about Joe Mixon. All right, I'm glad that's that particular topic that could have been up in the air about Ian Rapoport's actual interest is off the board. I'm glad I could answer that question for you.
Do you think Ian Rapoport's reported on like 10,000 player injuries?
Maybe. In some way, either he tweeted them or he went on air. Somehow, some way, I think we're probably at that point now. He's been around a long time.
It is definitely over 100 a season.
Yeah.
It's like probably 200 a season. Just like the notebook dump at 10:30 when he just boom, 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 yeah, tweets out all the inactives.
Exactly, yes.
For the noon slate.
And like, do you think he
cares about each and every one of them?
He takes a moment to consider what his report might mean for Justin Forsett? Do you think he took that into consideration?
No, but I would have been like, damn, I need to find a new flex this week.
Yeah.
Forsett's out.
I don't know where that point of view comes from when it comes to D'Amico Ryans. Position yourself as a player's coach if you want.
He cares about the well-being of his
Understood.
Players. That's why he doesn't talk about injuries.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with the competitive advantage. Understood. At least in the preseason, you can get that off and people might believe you. But
I mean, he did it during OTAs too with CJ Stroud.
That's what I'm saying. You can do that during the preseason and you can throw that out there.
Second time he's pulled the move of like, I care about my players. Yeah, no one asked that, dude.
No, it's not a question. In fact, I think most people would say D'Amico Ryans cares a lot about his players. It was never up for debate. But yes, whatever reporter gets injury news, it's not because they want to get it out there because they care about your players or the well-being of your team that much. They got a job to do. So I'm glad we can clear that up. But at least we know that Joe Mixon is still working, and when he's ready, he's ready. It's pretty much the same tact he took with C.J. Stroud. It turned out C.J. Stroud was not that far away from being ready, although they did want to hold him out another week back when we were in minicamp and OTAs. He decided he wanted to go out there and throw. He threw, he was fine, and he's fine now. Joe Mixon, we'll see whenever he's ready. But that's the update from your head coach.
That he cares about his players, and he wonders if you do.
I will tell you now, as I said just minutes ago, I care less about the well-being of your player and more about the news, because I don't think Joe Mixon being out right now is crushing his spirit or his soul. Now, if I thought that was the case, maybe I would care a little bit more, but Joe Mixon seems like a confident individual who's been hurt before and will be back.
Yeah, it's not quite like the Nick Chubb injury.
Yeah, where Nick Chubb has had some debilitating injuries that called into question his career.
Alex Smith, when J.J. Watt broke his leg on accident.
I care more about Alex Smith's leg and his well-being than reporting on it, because I saw it. I saw the injury happen, and I knew that was a bad deal. I did not see Joe Mixon getting hurt, and he's been walking around at camp when he has been seen. So I know he's not overwhelmed by what's going on.
And Cody Stutes has been looking at him being like, he's walking around slow.
Well, he didn't get the opportunity over the weekend.
I bet, you know what? Line us up. I bet Cody wins.
In a race?
Nick Chubb's lost a step.
A couple steps. He said steps. Plural. Not just a step. Okay. There it is. I'm glad we've all been made to know that the head coach.
We kind of got the finger wagged at us for not caring about. We do care. If anyone cares, it's me. I have to watch this team every Sunday.
I definitely want.
I watched him run out.
Nah, see, that's different.
I watched him run out Cam Akers for a month.
But you don't care about Joe Mixon, the person. You care about Joe Mixon, the running back.
Less so. Yeah.
See, he's right on you. Not about me.
Yeah, he's right about everyone. You. Not everyone you. Cares less about Joe Mixon, the person, than the player.
You care, but you don't care that much or if at all about Joe Mixon,
Does
the player.
Does Joe Mixon care about the person in Oklahoma?
I knew you were going to do that.
Just asking.
That's ugly. That's a long time
Just
ago.
Asking questions.
I thought you at least would have gone with, I'm a Texas guy. I don't care that much. He went to Oklahoma, but then you took it to a darker place.
What did he do at Oklahoma, Dell?
He ran the football in a way to get himself drafted. Yeah. He was great at Oklahoma. In fact, I don't know how the win-loss record, but I'm sure he had a big day or two against Texas.
He lost at least once.
Okay, there it is. So at least on one day.
Bleep, Joe Mixon. Well, he lost to a future 5-7 Texas team.
Yeah, it wasn't a good Texas team he lost to. All right, that's out of the way.
Somehow I'm the bad guy.
Well, you said it. You brought up a dark part of his past.
Sorry. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry about Joe Mixon. I'm sorry all the harm that incident caused Joe Mixon.
To your point, there was a victim on the other side who dealt with quite a bit more than Joe Mixon did, although, you know, he was punished in some ways. But moving on to this, let's play this sound. This comes from Houston rapper Lil Kiki. I think he might have been the first to let us know that even Andre Johnson isn't immune to getting robbed in the city. Here's Lil Kiki. Or Lil. Let me make that clear. Lil Kiki.
Let's do some real legend talk. H-Town, you know how much we love this city, how much this city love us. Tastemakers, entertainers, athletes, rappers, hardworking people, entrepreneurs, it don't matter. We love this city because this city love us back. Andre Johnson is my brother. He's the first Houston Texan Hall of Famer. He dedicated his life here, his career here. And also, he resides here as a Houstonian. That makes it much, much more important. Man, we family, and it's a family message. Over the weekend, someone broke into my brother's home, took some items that represent his legacy, represent his dedication, his hard work, his family. We need to recover that and get that back. This is not like a car. This ain't like a jersey hanging around. This represents his career and his family for real. Let's come together as a Houston family and put our ears to the street, put our nose to the ground, and find out who got these items, and let's recover them and get them back to our brother. They represent much, much more than some money or something like that. He family, we family. Let's get that did. Big salute, Houston.
So I asked a question. How big of a star do you have to be immune from this? Like Andre Johnson, as you heard Lil Kiki mention, he's made Houston a home. He's the first Texan right in the Hall of Fame. All the things that he means to the city. And yet, so the question, I guess, for me is, when you walk into the home as the person breaking in, do you know beforehand that it's Andre Johnson's home?
I think you know.
I think you do. That's why you're in the home. But if you don't, and then you see everything that would tell you, oh, this is Andre Johnson's house, do you go, wait a minute, not this one. This is Andre's home. Probably not, right?
Obviously not.
Probably not. Either way.
They finished their caper.
Yeah. So I don't – so I guess I'll answer my own question. I don't – you can be as big as the biggest here in the city, and if someone wants to break into your home, they'll break into your home and take your stuff. Because the person themselves could, I think, walk around and be relatively safe depending on the level of star. Like, oh, that's Jose Altuve. I'm not going to mess with him. Oh, that's Andre Johnson.
Well,
I'm not going to mess
Jose
with him.
Jose Altuve's house kept...
Yeah. No, I mean, that's why I bring him up. The individual.
Oh,
like, okay. If he's out and about and maybe you see someone, normally you'd be like, I'll take this guy for... I think I can rob this guy. But if you're...
This five-foot-five guy?
But if you see Jose... Oh, that's Jose Altuve. I'm going to leave him alone. It's Jose Altuve. Mm-hmm. Andre Johnson, who's... much bigger than Jose Altuve, but even still, if you've got certain things on you, then you could probably still rob him. You're going to be like, nope, this Andre, I'm not going to take it. But I guess the home is not doesn't get that status.
Yeah, because normally it's empty.
Yeah, no one's there. You're going to break in. You take some stuff.
I am trying to think of, because I don't think stature, I mean, obviously stature doesn't have much to do with it because you have two guys that are, if not like top five, Houston athletes of all time, definitely top five of the last...
modern era, yeah.
Yeah. And that didn't matter. They both got their houses robbed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the person who...
Who could...
You break into their house.
Could Hakeem... Could someone break into Hakeem's home? That might be determined by the age of the person breaking in.
I was going to say, like 19-year-olds. Like, who cares, dude?
Whatever. Probably thinks DeAndre Ayton's a better player.
Yeah. Now I'm just picturing Lance's sons walking
and looking at him.
No bag.
But the problem is Hakeem had a bag.
He did have a bag.
They couldn't even use that.
Maybe that's what the Zerline boys
That's how they judge whether they're going to break into a home or not, or take it bagless or with bag.
But what if you got the mask on, you're sneaking into the house.
Yeah.
No dogs. That's good.
For you, certainly.
And then you're looking for stuff, where they keep the jewelry box or whatever. And then you look at that, on one of the ledges, maybe over a fireplace, and you see it's a picture, and you're like, wait, is that Vernon Maxwell? Are we robbing Vernon Maxwell's house? Is he the guy where you're just like, guys, we gotta go?
Because of the repercussions of robbing his house?
Yes, because obviously, like, hey, is that a Hall of Fame jacket? Who cares? Take it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't matter.
Like, I'm
but
not,
I think if it's like, this guy might actually retaliate.
Noted NFL NBA badass James Johnson. Am I robbing his home?
No chance. I'm not even like showing up. Like, the second I know it's James Johnson's house, I'm leaving.
If there's any chance.
Because I might break in, whatever, and then see it's James Johnson's house. And then turn around, and there's James Johnson. Like, he's a ninja. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Real chance James Johnson wasn't there when you got into the home, but somehow appeared once you were about to finish.
He's like Batman.
Yeah. It's a smoke bomb, and there's James Johnson. Now you're in real trouble.
Just rappels down from the second floor.
So you're leaning into, it doesn't matter the status of the player.
Obviously
it's a matter
of
what that player can do to you if you get caught.
Yes.
Okay. That probably makes more sense. That's a lot about
Steven Jackson lives in Houston, I think.
Look,
I'm robbing Steven Jackson's house, I'm leaving that house.
I'm just going to lay it out for the show right now. Neither one of us is robbing anyone's home. We don't do that. But if we did, what that player could do to us.
That would be the
deciding factor.
Because,
And Steven Jackson has his jersey up someplace, you could tell. And it's the only house ever that would have a jersey being highlighted. It would be the actual home of Steven Jackson. I don't think there's a Steven Jackson stan out there who's a big fan.
I think chances are if there's any house that has a jersey up and framed or multiples of the same guy's jersey.
You haven't seen those rooms where fans have, like, jerseys up? I've seen them.
I mean, I've seen them, but like, come on.
You can judge the home from
the
outside.
I think most of the time, especially in Houston, most of the time it's like, okay, this guy's an athlete.
Yes, you look at the home from the outside. This is one of the reasons you're there to rob it, and then you see what's in it, and then you go, okay.
I do like the idea that they didn't realize it was Andre Johnson's house. Like, they're just breaking into, like, the nicest house in wherever Andre Johnson lives.
No, I got to believe they knew, and they didn't care. That's the likely scenario. That they robbed the house because it was Andre Johnson's
home.
Because
the Jose Altuve thing, it also, I think that one, if not directly, it's not the same syndicate, but it's of the same ilk of the guys that robbed Joe Burrow's house, not knowing that Joe Burrow's house sitter was there.
Yes, she was a house sitter working for Joe. Yeah, that's the story he told. The same woman he's seen with, been seen with afterwards, by the way, as well.
Just
still working for Joe.
They're friends.
Yeah,
that's
sure,
why.
Sure. Yes, the Instagram influencing TikTok model. She's simply a friend.
That lives in Florida, flying up to...
to work for Joe Burrow, yes.
Yeah. But though they got robbed... while it was a road game, you know, like, because obviously you can look at these guys' schedules and be like, they're not going to be at their house. Why? Because it's Monday night football and,
and they're on
the Bengals
road.
Are playing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. How he knew Andre Johnson's schedule, considering he doesn't have that type of schedule anymore, I guess that
just
may never be known, but.
Maybe he went on vacation.
Quite possibly.
Send out an Instagram of like, can't wait to go on vacation.
Feels maybe he
if you
was,
want me for the next week, I'll be in Fiji.
Yeah, feels like a bad idea. Don't think he did it.
I don't think Andre Johnson did that.
Yeah.
I don't know the last time Andre Johnson's posted anything still him calling out Cal McNair?
I would have to look at any Twitter, Instagram that he might have.
It's probably like three down now. Four down.
Don't know anything about his social media to know what he does or does not post. But Pepe Le Pew, that's the handle on Twitter.
Oh.
He says, did he think he had enough street credibility to not even have a home security system? I don't know that. Is that only place I've seen this is from Lil Kiki. So I'm not sure any reporting has been done on what was there. Did he have Brinks at home? I don't know. I don't know what he had.
At least have the front door camera.
Ring. Will that be able to pick up whatever he had? I don't know that.
I see 10,000 commercials for him. They seem to work in the commercial.
Yeah, I just don't know if he had a Ring camera to see who broke into his home. But all we know is that the home was broken
into. This is where, if I was a multimillionaire, this is how I help my friends. This is how I bring them up with me. It's like, hey, at all times, you guys are just at my house with guns. Like, just, you're on the payroll, but, like, you're security guys.
Well, Tua, I don't even know if he was asked about it, but he mentioned he has a home security team.
Yeah.
And he goes, if you guys show up, there will be people with guns there.
Yeah.
He might have been asked about the recent, it's not even so recent anymore, but all the people.
It was like last year.
Famous people's houses being broken into. He said, yeah, I got people with guns.
That's how I would do it, too. Be like, hey, guys, thank you for supporting me. Or, you know, whatever.
But
just being a friend.
Yeah.
If you want this bread, there's a very easy way for you to do it.
Yeah. I think I would.
You don't have to be an Instagram model to this house sit for me. Actually, I prefer you not.
I do think if I was at that level, even if it wasn't all that true, I would make an announcement. Hey, I got a family, kids. I care about a wife. If you happen to think this is a soft touch, there are armed men patrolling, just so you know.
Yeah, because these people have big enough houses where it's like, they can just have like a guard, not an actual guard tower, but they could have like the guard quarters, you know, like they could have 24-hour surveillance of like everything.
Sure.
I'm taking this from Wolf of Wall Street, one of Dave Aranda's favorite movies.
Yeah, that was interesting. Dave.
I saw that on the rundown. Maybe that's why the Wolf of Wall Street scene of Rudy and Rudy. But yeah, that's why it's on the top of my head.
Yeah, we play the sound this morning on the John and Lance show. And Dave Aranda, when talking about, I guess, recruiting in some way and players and how much and making them feel like you're one of them, referenced the scene from Wolf of Wall Street where they talk quite a bit about little people. But he used a word that we generally don't say anymore. Like, little people are in a protected class where there are just some words you don't say unless you're Dave Aranda. You know what? I'll let Dave Aranda explain it to you when we come back. You have it right now. Let's hear Dave Aranda try to equate Wolf of Wall Street and Little People to recruiting today?
But there's a scene in The Wolf of Wall Street when they talk about throwing midgets in, and it's like, you know, hey, this midget, can he roll there? And you go, no, he doesn't roll. You throw him. You know what I mean? And they're made for throwing. And then after a while, they start talking, and they go, well, you know what? I think if you start talking, they may think they know we're making fun of them. The midgets may think that we're making fun of them. So then I'm going to start, you know, they may get mad at us. And then the guys go, well, what we need to do is make them think they're one of us. And they go, one of us, one of us. And I think that's the thing with coaching, call it recruiting, is it's that way. They talk about acquiring players, getting rid of players, just like that. And the whole thing underneath all that is they make them think they're one of us. You know what I mean? And it's like, but you, I don't know, do you have to do that to win? You know, that sucks. Yeah.
I've heard it now a couple times. Do you have any explanation for what he's talking about, Sean?
You have to make the players feel like they're one of us.
But he said that sucks. So does he mean by lying to them and making them think in the recruiting process that do you make the players feel like they're one of you, or do you make the players feel like you're one of them? To make the players feel like you're more like them, and then you get them into the building, and then you have to, like, that whole de-recruit thing that Coach talked about.
Yeah, I don't know what the question was.
I have
like,
no idea.
Sir, was this your handwriting?
Yes.
I have no idea what the question was, but I think that's what he's doing. I don't know. I'm mostly just thinking about the scene from Wolf of Wall Street.
You can't get past that. I was trying to figure out.
I might watch it this weekend. It's a great movie.
I was trying to get to a point where I could see what he's saying, what he means, and I'm struggling to get there.
It's tough because the clip just starts us off.
I need the context of the
Little
question.
People.
Yes, they told. If I heard the question, maybe I would know. But it sounds like he's saying we got to kind of trick players into thinking we're all the same, and then once they get that here, it's different
and
stuff like that.
I think that's what it is.
Maybe I'm shooting him some bail, and he just wanted to talk about Wolf of Wall Street. I don't know.
Completely fine in my book.
Maybe he's like Joe Mazzulla. Sees a movie, watches it all the time, and it's always in his head.
That'd be so funny if Dave Aranda's The Town.
Wolf of Wall Street. Yes.
For Dave Aranda specifically.
Yes. Dave Aranda, good thing you went 8-5 last year, because if you had put together another losing season, your third in a row.
Flip the win-loss.
Yeah, Baylor's like, yeah, he went 8-5, lost the Texas Bowl. Yeah. We're fine with this. Just win as many games at least as you did this past season, and make all the Little People references you want. Throw Tyrion in there. Talk about Gary Coleman. Whatever it takes. Keep winning games.
It's like mini-me, you know?
If Dave Aranda wasn't simply Dave Aranda, if he was like more popular, more well-known, do you think there'd be a statement from Little People about that?
Yes.
How this works?
There might already be.
You're right about that.
If he was
Nick Saban.
Jim Harbaugh or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. There'd be a conversation about why this word isn't something they like.
Kirby Smart.
Instead, it's Dave Aranda at Big 12 Media Day. Who knows who he is anyway, for the most part.
Dabo would have been the leader in Vegas to bring up Little People at a press conference.
And not use the word Little People. Yes. Dabo is at a school and has won enough where he's pretty much Teflon.
Oh, yeah. No, but I mean, people would still put out a statement.
That's true. We'll see if Dave Aranda understands that the word isn't as acceptable as it once was. And maybe he, in the next time he's available to the media, says, you know what?
I didn't think he would say it that much, I'll be honest.
The first time?
When I played the clip.
Yeah, it's at a level where you're like, ooh, enough.
Maybe I should have bleeped some of these.
Okay. Some words, even if they're offensive, can be said and heard, and that's one of them, apparently, if you're listening to Dave Aranda at a presser. We'll go to break with that. While this show is wild, we would instruct you not to use that word. Little People's fine, I think.
Try not to.
Yeah, we ask not to. We won't come down on you too hard. It's just, hey,
just trying to.
It's a little much, particularly from a leader of men.
That part I don't care about. It's just a little much.
Well, that was a joke.
Football coaches. Probably not the top 10 most derogatory things of football coaches.
I don't hold football coaches in the same regard. Well, coaches in general. But football coaches get a lot of leader of men stuff, and they're held in some regard that they're more than anyone
else. They care
about
their players. You don't care about their
players. I heard D'Amico Ryans tell me he cared about his players, and he questioned whether me even talking, I guess, about Joe Mixon's injury suggests that I don't care about him. Dead on, coach. Not as much as you do, at least. All right, we'll go to break with that. We've got a couple more segments to go. If you want to join us, you can. That number is 713-780-3776. Me and Sean, till noon, we'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. So we talked about Nick Chubb and him not looking great. That was from a report that Cody Stutes had, formerly of the Wheelhouse on ESPN 97.5. Now he covers the Texans almost exclusively. Nick Chubb talked about getting acclimated, and he attributed some of his inability to get an explosive run because of the defensive line. He said they make it tougher to find gaps and find holes, and he also mentioned that he hadn't been in pads since – this is his first time in pads since December when he was still a Brown, which, you know, for a lot of guys, depending on when their season ended, this week it will be the first time they're in pads since the end of last regular season. So he's not alone in that, but Nick Chubb is still trying to find his way with the Texans. And right now, reports are he don't look great. We'll see as he continues to ramp himself up if some of the old burst comes back, because they're going to need him. And maybe in more ways than we thought in week one, if Joe Mixon is someone who won't be available, as the reports yesterday, or at least over the weekend, suggested. We already played the sound from D'Amico Ryans, not particularly thrilled with all the reporting on Joe Mixon. He's not particularly thrilled with injury reports on any of his guys. He's let that be known. Moving on from the Texans, did you see the PR job that Lucas people are doing? He's in men's health. Looking fit and slim. And it is a rather predictable thing to do after all of the condemnation. Well, simply forget about people condemning what he looks like. Just look at the pictures as compared to other NBA players and what they do. Hell, J.J. Redick talked about how they needed to get him in better shape. He might have said everyone in better shape, but everyone suggested, or at least assumed, that that was about Luka. Now he's on the cover of Men's Health. He's in a big piece, and he talks about what he's doing. And of course, he's playing for Slovenia this year. Luka, I think, is always in better shape when he's got Euro duties with Slovenia. He cares quite a bit about playing for his country. But he's probably the slimmest he's looked since his rookie year. And even in his rookie year, he wasn't like cut. It's not part of his game. He looks more defined if you want to just go by images that are certainly shopped and put him in the best light. And according to what I've read in the past, guys, when they do those photo shoots, they're not drinking water. They want to look as slim as possible. I don't know if Luka did all that, but he is noticeably slimmer, which is fine and great for the Lakers, because they need all the luck they can get, because, of course, that franchise has never benefited from being in L.A. or anything like that. But this isn't, for me at least, something that I will crush Nico Harrison for. You can crush him for the lack of assets he got back, or not shopping Luka around the rest of the league. But as far as Luka being in shape and being the best he can be for the Lakers, if he's right about it, and I tend to think he is, I don't think Nico Harrison and the Mavericks were getting that Luka. I think he was very comfortable in Dallas. That organization and that fan base loved him in a way that he could kind of do whatever he wanted. And he got embarrassed by what happened. He got traded. all the conversations about the Mavericks not wanting to pay him because they didn't trust him, so on and so forth. I assumed he thought he was untouchable. Most people did, and rightfully so in Dallas. He got traded, and it didn't go well for the half a season or more he was in L.A., so he's going to make a change. The Lakers are certainly benefiting from him being embarrassed by what happened at the end of his Dallas tenure in hell, what happened as they were knocked out in the first round by the T-Wolves. They're probably going to get the best Luka. The question for me is this a, hey, look at me, I'm in shape, or this is a real lifestyle change? Because he won't be getting Whataburger, but that Jack in a Box and more importantly, In-N-Out, that animal style, still hits. So the question will be if this is just a one-year renovation to the body and he'll be great this year, and then we'll see what he's like after the pressure is off. But it's going to be tough. It's already tough for Maverick fans, but to watch svelte Luka do his thing.
And the fact
it's going to be a difficult watch for them.
It took like 3 months.
Which is something I'm sure they implored him to do for years in Dallas.
It took like half the offseason.
Yeah. For these pictures to come out and go, wow, look at them.
Yeah. From May, right? They lost like early May. Or actually probably late April. And then now it's like, oh, he's at least looks like he's in great shape. I've always been in the like, hey.
He's a great player anyway.
No, well, that and all. Yes, that. The Nico Harrison, maybe don't trade your best player after making the finals.
Sure.
But then also, these were always going to come out, like these kind of pictures and stuff, and magazine, especially magazine photos. Like
exactly.
Yeah, right.
Luka's already one of those guys who, depending on the angle, looks slimmer or bigger.
And just like he's one of those guys where I feel like I can just see it of like, oh, he had a big lunch. And so like.
A beer or two.
Yeah, exactly. So it looks a little extra puffy. But wake me up in. On opening night, like I want to see it for a season of
you mean him. Opening night of two the seasons Lakers. From now.
Oh, I mean, I want to see it. Like, is this for real? And then B, doing the playoffs, and then do it again.
Yeah, if he gets blown by and he's limping in the playoffs, which has been the case for years now, then let's see if Slim Luka means as much as people think it will mean.
It's also we've seen the story recently. I think it was in 2020. Two or three, Yuli Gurriel said that he was cutting out, actually, it must have been 2022, going into 2022, that he was cutting out, pizza, wings, and soda. Mm-hmm. And he got in great shape and then was like terrible to start the season.
So you think Luka's superpower might be?
I'm just saying, people's bodies, they get you to a certain place. Yeah, maybe you don't,
In baseball, if a guy gets too cut up, Sometimes you're Barry Bonds or Mark McGuire. But other guys, people are like, well, will it mess with the swing
exactly.
if he's too bulked up?
And just, talking about Luka, he did use his size pretty effectively. Like, we don't really think of him as a post player. But when he got guys in the post, like, hey, Luka, great offensive player. Breaking news. But I think that just getting slimmer while, has to be helpful, at least for, the theoretical defensive effort. It also might have some drawbacks in what he can do, and you would prefer him to hey, can you slim down? That's great. Now, can we add some muscle so you are just as big, just in good weight, as opposed to before? But again, if you're a Lakers fan, this is what you should be hanging your hat on. And for everyone else, it's just let's see. Let's just see. Yeah. And also, the supporting cast, I'm dubious of for the Lakers. So.
Yeah, Marcus
Smart. I don't think it matters that much, honestly.
Yeah, Marcus Smart is really someone you're depending on. You got real issues, I think.
Marcus Smart and DeAndre Ayton are the...
Big acquisitions. Yeah. Don't think much of that. And you have
Jake LaRavia.
Let's not forget about Jake LaRavia. You're right about that. And you've got a less than enthused LeBron James. I don't think he'll be a guy who's not going to play hard, but... that's certainly something to monitor, but yeah, the Lakers will be fine.
This does not move me. Whatever he does in Slovenia doesn't really move me. Just let me see you in October, what he looks like and how he responds.
If I see more blood on your sock, I've seen, it feels like every postseason. If I get
down
that
for the knee,
You know what happens. Luka gets fouled or not fouled, he's complaining and
misses a shot.
Yeah, he'll. grab at something. If he gets blown by, he'll grab at something. That's kind of what his deal. If he's in better shape, will that give him more energy to yell at refs or less? Will he decide not to yell at refs because he's in better shape?
At least in theory, it's also like probably better for his hamstring, groin, knees, like that he's just carrying less weight. But also, it's like, a team made the finals with them. So, like, and they had an awesome defense. Like, it is possible to have an awesome defense with Luka Doncic.
Yes, it's happened.
It's happened 18 months ago.
Question is, do the Lakers have the supplemental
exactly.
system?
And I don't think they do.
I don't think they do. We'll go to break with that. We got one more segment to go. Sean, time for some mystery audio. I have it downloaded over there, labeled Mystery Audio 2 over
okay,
there.
Okay.
So you don't have to preview it. I've done all that needs to be done. All you're going to do is play it, and the audio without context, maybe it'd be a little bit difficult for you to decipher, but there will be context from the audio itself at the very end. But it just speaks to reaching us what a certain level can do for you. And the response when the realization hits is pretty funny. We'll play that when we come back.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Our summer circuit continues. This week, the guys are going to be at Carbach Brewery. By those guys, I mean the Paul Gallant Show, featuring Paul Gallant. Right, Paul Gallant's back this week. Paul Gallant will be at Carbach Brewery and the Killer Bees. They'll be there from 12 to 6 on Thursday. Each week, you can register to win our grand prize of the summer. It is a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, a $4,000 value. For registration, stop by the promo table at the broadcast, meet the guys, get a chance to win a really cool prize from Power On Electric Bicycle Company as we continue our summer circuit. Okay, before I went to break, I mentioned some mystery audio. I'm going to give you guys a chance, not to win anything, but see if you can decipher what this is. Sean hasn't heard it. That's usually not the case with audio. He has to preview it. I've taken care of all that. It's something I found very funny, and the reaction is reasonable, and I'm trying to think how I would react in the same situation. And it is from sports from over the weekend. Sean, hit the mystery audio.
Okay. All right, so this is the
final.
Yeah.
Damn!
My bad. How are you doing? Dang.
Yes, sir.
Okay. How I'm feeling? I'm just blessed, happy to be a part of this organization. From the time I picked a jersey up to when I shook Adam Silver's hand to now, I mean, it's all been surreal, and I'm just blessed and happy to be here.
So you got the context at the end. You hear Adam Silver, you hear jersey, you can guess that that's an NBA player. What is that NBA player doing, Sean?
Is he signing his contract?
It is Dylan Harper signing his 4-year, $56 million deal, and that was him seeing the number on paper for the first time.
That was him seeing.
Yes, that was Dylan Harper seeing the number.
I thought it was like, I was just like picturing, it was like maybe his, like, I mean, I didn't know it was Dylan Harper, so I was going to say maybe his dad.
Yeah.
His dad, probably still pretty blown away by it, but yeah, less Harper, blown away.
Yeah.
Or his brother or something, but.
That was the draftee
his
himself.
Own.
He saw that number. Oh, he probably heard what he might be getting.
Yeah, his agent probably told him.
But he
him,
saw that but, number in writing with his signature next to it.
That
it
is
was like,
crazy.
Yeah, I was like, you know what?
It's like
appropriate.
$60 million.
Appropriate. Yeah, you mentioned his dad is Ron Harper, so it's not like Dylan Harper's been living. He doesn't have the sob story. Of
he didn't get his family out.
Yeah, he didn't get his family out. That thing. His family, thanks to his dad's long NBA career, I'm looking at it from the outside. I don't know what's actually going on, but it feels like that wasn't the story he was going to have to tell. But, yeah, when it's your money and you get to sign on that line and you know with it being NBA money,
yeah,
that is and, all guaranteed pretty much.
Yeah, first 2 years completely guaranteed. You have to be a super bust not to get 90, to year three.
Not to get to the third year, yeah, team option in year three or four. But he's probably, considering what people think of him, going to be able to recoup all that money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would react that way. Yeah, 4 years, $56 million. All yours, Dylan Harper. All yours.
That's crazy. That's basically 15 a year for a rookie contract. I get it's year two, he's the second pick. But yeah. That's nuts. That's like, you know, go back in time. That's basically what like the Miami Big Three signed when they signed as free agents.
They took less $15-16 million a year. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. So the money has changed, and it's one of the reasons why Steph Curry probably is right in saying, now he said NBA players, if you say NBA star players, he said they're underpaid. If you want to get away from their annual deals, because yes, Devin Booker making 70+ million, possibly if he has to reach some levels to get there. Making that sounds absurd when you say, oh, they're underpaid. But if you think about the value of what the Warriors are today and what they were when Laker bought them, and considering most of that, sure, there's some Klay Thompson in there. Kevin Durant was there.
NBA rising tides.
But the value.
A lot of it.
The value of the Warriors at $9-point-something billion compared to when they were purchased in 2010 for about $450. Wow. Yes. Steph Curry's paid great. Not going to want for anything. If we're just talking about if we started to figure out what his value is to the Warriors overall, he's probably right that he's underpaid. Yeah. But he shouldn't use that term. He should probably use something like, hey, my value supersedes what I get on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah, it's the old thing of like if they didn't have a cap or not even a cap, if they didn't have a max contract in the NBA, like guys would, like LeBron would just get most of the cap. What? Like he would get 80% of the cap. Like you just have to fill roster spots. That's why he wouldn't get 100%. But if you did like completely no cap, no salary cap, no max contract. Salary. I mean,
but even if you remove the constraints of you got to build a team, if we're just asking how much is Steph Curry worth to the Warriors,
it's like a billion.
It exceeds $2 billion. It exceeds what he's being paid for his salary. And speaking of caps, this came out in the last 30 minutes or so. Bryce Harper and Rob Manfred got into a confrontation.
Yeah.
When Bryce Harper went nose to nose, that's the reporting. I don't know if he was actually nose to nose.
Was he bending down?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. During a meeting last week, because I guess Rob Manfred walked in there with the thought of having a conversation about a salary cap, a real salary cap in baseball. And according to reports, Bryce Harper stood nose to nose and said, "Get the F out of our clubhouse." That seems like a harsh reaction to a mere conversation. Maybe that has more to do with other things Rob Manfred has done, as opposed to suggesting at some point that a hard cap in baseball could be a thing. Manfred never explicitly said the words salary cap.
Oh, okay.
But even the discussion about the economics of baseball pissed off Harper.
Yeah. Also, just like, you're the commissioner. Get out of our locker room.
I'm sure that had a lot to do with it, too, other than just, hey, he's
also,
talking
you're
about,
Rob Manfred.
No, we don't like you. Beat it. I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. All right, we're done. Paul Gallant's up next. He's followed by the Killer Bees. So since we're done for the day, Sean, what is that? Stroud better today. He did shred him.
Been a while since I just played the bar.
Yeah, better today than he was over the weekend. All right, I'll talk to you on Monday.
ESPN 97.5.